The United States is engaged in very provocative policies in Taiwan, and generals in the U.S. military have said publicly that they are preparing for war on China. The U.S. is sending hundreds of troops to Taiwan. The U.S. is also selling Taiwan military equipment and communication systems that it would need for potential war. And it's very reminiscent of the buildup to the war in Ukraine, in which the U.S. sent CIA forces and special operations forces to prepare for a proxy war against Russia. Well, the U.S. is doing something very similar now in Taiwan. There is even discussion in Washington of potential scenarios in which nuclear weapons would be used. So this is a very dangerous situation. And today I'm going to be explaining why people should be concerned about the very aggressive U.S. government policy. Now, first and foremost, I should stress that according to international law, Taiwan is recognized as part of China. Taiwan is not an independent country. It does not have a seat at the United Nations. At the UN, it is China that is recognized as the sovereign government that administrates the territory of Taiwan, which is a province of China. And in fact, when the US government officially normalized relations with the People's Republic of China in the 1970s, the US signed a series of three agreements known as the three communiques, in which Washington recognized that there is only one China and that Taiwan is part of China. Today, I will be reviewing this evidence, which shows how the United States is violating international law and violating agreements that it has repeatedly signed with China and engaging in very aggressive policies and a concept it refers to as strategic ambiguity, in which the US claims that it does not support separatism on Taiwan, and yet at the same time, the US is sending troops and weapons and encouraging separatist forces on Taiwan and threatening war on China. The Wall Street Journal published an alarming article in February titled, US to expand troop presence in Taiwan for training against China and the so-called threat, although the US recognizes that Taiwan is part of China, so how is China threatening its own territory? Now, the Wall Street Journal wrote, quote, the U.S. is markedly increasing the number of troops deployed to Taiwan, more than quadrupling the current number to bolster a training program. The U.S. plans to deploy between 100 and 200 troops to Taiwan Island in the coming months. This March, the media in Taiwan reported that U.S. Green Berets, Special Operations Forces, are now permanently based on Taiwan Island for the first time. This report revealed that the U.S. Special Forces are training Taiwan forces on how to use drones, U.S. drones, and that Taiwan is in the process of buying those drones from the U.S. military. And even more concerningly, this report disclosed that American military advisors are now permanently stationed in army amphibious bases in the Taiwanese islands of Kinmen and Penghu. Now, this is extremely provocative because, as Newsweek pointed out, Kinmen is located just 6 miles or 10 kilometers from mainland China. This is a map showing just how close this is. Now, in English, the islands are known as Kinmen, but in Chinese, they're referred to as Jinmen. And you can see that they are right by mainland China. This means that the U.S. military now has personnel permanently deployed just a few kilometers away from mainland China's city of Xiamen in the southeastern coastal province of Fujian. This is an extremely aggressive action by Washington. China will see this as a U.S. military threat against it. And I should stress again that the United States technically recognizes Taiwan as part of China. So can you imagine what the U.S. would do if China sent hundreds of troops to Florida? What would Washington's response be? The situation is extremely dangerous. And in the U.S., there are some hawks who are completely irresponsible and mindlessly aggressive. And as NBC News reported last year in 2023, a four-star Air Force general sent a memo to the officers he commands that predicts the U.S. will be at war with China in 2 years. This was in 2023. And the U.S. general told his command, his troops to get ready to prep by firing a clip at a target and, quote, aim for the head. This is according to the U.S. Air Force General Mike Minahan, who is telling his soldiers to prepare for war on China and to aim for the head. Meanwhile, hawkish think tanks in Washington, like the Atlantic Council, which is funded by NATO and Western governments, are publishing reports discussing scenarios in which the U.S. would use nuclear weapons against China over Taiwan. Once again, imagine you are a Chinese official and you see this. This is Washington publicly threatening to nuke you. And what makes this even more concerning is that there is a historical precedent. During the Taiwan Strait crisis in 1958, the U.S. government came very close to nuking China. This was acknowledged by mainstream media, including the New York Times and CNN. I'm reading here from an article published in CNN in 2021. Quote, military planners in Washington pushed for the White House to prepare plans to use nuclear weapons against mainland China during the Taiwan Strait crisis in 1958. It detailed Washington's discussions about using nuclear weapons to deter a Chinese invasion of Taiwan, including the acceptance by some U.S. military leaders of possible retaliatory nuclear strikes on U.S. bases. And this information was provided to the New York Times by Daniel Ellsberg, the legendary whistleblower who leaked the Pentagon Papers that disclosed U.S. war crimes and lies in the Vietnam War in the 1970s. Now, this is not very well known, but the United States had nuclear weapons stored on Taiwan Island during the First Cold War. This was disclosed by an important research organization called the National Security Archive, which is located at George Washington University in DC. And in 1999, they published declassified documents in which they disclosed that the United States stored nuclear weapons in 27 countries and territories around the globe during the First Cold War. And among the territories, it's not a country, but the Chinese territory where the U.S. had nuclear weapons was Taiwan Island. The Federation of American Scientists published a very useful report that looks at these declassified documents. It notes that in 1958, during the Taiwan Strait crisis, the U.S. had the Matador nuclear cruise missile deployed on Taiwan, and in 1960, the U.S. began deploying nuclear bombs to Taiwan. They have a list of the kinds of bombs that were stored, and the report notes that, of course, at the same time, the U.S. was militarizing the Korean Peninsula, and at the peak of the nuclear buildup in 1967, the U.S. had nearly 950 warheads deployed in South Korea, and the U.S. deployed nuclear weapons to Taiwan. They arrived in January 1960 and stayed a decade and a half until July 1974. This chart shows the number of U.S. nuclear weapons that were stored in the Pacific in the 1960s and 70s. And at the bottom of the chart, you can see that starting in 1960, going until 1974, there were dozens of U.S. nuclear weapons on Taiwan Island. And also the U.S. had hundreds of nuclear weapons in the Philippines and Guam and Korea, and more than 1,000 in Okinawa. So at its peak in the 1960s, the U.S. had more than 3,000 nuclear weapons in the Pacific. And of course, those weapons were aimed at mainland China, preparing for a potential nuclear war. When you know this history, and you see hawkish think tanks in Washington that supported the illegal invasion of Iraq and the war in Libya and the war in Syria and the war in Afghanistan, when you see them today talking about scenarios in which the U.S. would use nuclear weapons in a war against China over Taiwan, you should be very concerned. The U.S. government is engaged in extremely provocative, aggressive behavior and is quite literally threatening potential nuclear war. I cannot think of something that is more dangerous. And it's really frustrating to see Western politicians and pundits talk so lightly about this issue as if it's not significant. It is very significant, and people need to educate themselves about how dangerous these US government actions are and demand that they change, demand peace, demand diplomacy, and not more war. But the sad reality is that, in the words of the BBC, British state media, quote, "The US is quietly arming Taiwan to the teeth." This is a report from November 2023, and BBC pointed out that US President Joe Biden signed off on an $80 million grant to Taiwan to purchase American military equipment, and this $80 million was not a loan. It comes from American taxpayers. For the first time in more than 40 years, the US is using its own money to send weapons to a place it does not officially recognize, under a program called Foreign Military Finance, FMF. FMF has been used to send around $4 billion of military aid to Kiev, to Ukraine. So we see a precedent here of the US arming Ukraine in a proxy war against Russia, and now the US is arming Taiwan for a potential proxy war against mainland China. But what's even crazier about this is that Ukraine is not part of Russia. Taiwan is part of China, and the US recognizes the one China policy. International law recognizes that there is one China, and the People's Republic of China is the only internationally recognized legitimate political body that sits at the United Nations, and Taiwan is a Chinese province. And yet, the US government is using this military program in which it has armed Ukraine, Afghanistan, Iraq, Israel, and Egypt, and now it is arming Taiwan, a region, a Chinese province that is not recognized by the United Nations, as even BBC acknowledges here. And yet, the situation continues to get worse. In February of this year, 2024, the US government formally notified Taiwan that it approved the sale for $75 million of the Link 16 system. This is a communication system used by the armed forces of the US and other countries to transmit and exchange real-time tactical data through the use of links between allied military network participants. Over at our website, geopoliticaleconomy.com, the analyst KJ No, a friend of the show, published a very shocking article, which I will link to in the description below, titled, "After Ukraine, US Readies Transnational Kill Chain for Taiwan Proxy War." And in this article, he discusses the sale of the Link 16 communication system to Taiwan and notes that this is the final link of what the US military calls a transnational coalition kill chain against China. And he argues this signals a US commitment to kinetic war, conventional war against mainland China. KJ No pointed out that in 2023, the US Naval Institute published a report detailing how important these communication systems are for US wars. And this report, published by the US military, blatantly draws links between the proxy war against Russia in Ukraine and a potential US war against China over Taiwan. And this report notes that the US needs to expand the satellite communications network it has with its allies, and that is the acronym SATCOM, Satellite Communications. And this report says the US military must generate relative combat power advantage over China's People's Liberation Army, the PLA. And it talks about the experience fighting against Russia in this proxy war in Ukraine and the importance of the US reconstructing Ukraine's SATCOM network, satellite communications network. And it notes that the kill chain architecture levered against Russia does not exist in the first island chain of the Western Pacific. Now, as the name suggests, the first island chain is the series of first islands surrounding mainland China, connecting from Okinawa, south of Japan, going past Taiwan province, which is part of China, past the Philippines and down into the South China Sea, and the U.S. has been militarizing this region. In fact, the Japanese news website Nikkei published back in 2021 that the U.S. military is planning on spending $27.4 billion in the so-called Indo-Pacific theater in order to build a network of precision strike missiles along the first island chain as part of a so-called conventional deterrence against China. But it's actually not deterrence. It's threatening China with offensive missiles. These are not defensive missile systems. They are offensive missile systems. And specifically, the U.S. is building these on Taiwan Island, Okinawa, and the Philippines. Once again, look at this map, and you can see that the U.S. is militarizing the area surrounding mainland China, spending tens of billions of dollars to construct offensive missile networks. Can you imagine if China built missile networks on the U.S.-Mexico border? I mean, there's almost nothing that we can compare it to because the U.S. is not surrounded, the coasts of the U.S. are not surrounded in the same way that China is. So this is, once again, another extreme act of U.S. aggression against China. Now, let's briefly return to this report in the U.S. Naval Institute talking about the need to build a coalition kill chain for the Pacific. It notes that the U.S. military in 2022 published a national defense strategy, which identified China as, quote, the most comprehensive and serious challenge to U.S. national security, which is absurd. I mean, China has not been engaged in a war in decades. China does not invade foreign countries, unlike the U.S., which has constantly been engaged in war for its entire history. And just in the past few decades has attacked Iraq twice, waged war on Iraq twice, and continues to bomb Iraq, has waged war on Syria and continues to bomb Syria and militarily occupy Syria in contravention of international law. The U.S. militarily occupied Afghanistan for 20 years. The U.S. destroyed Libya in 2011. The U.S. is now constantly bombing Yemen and has been for decades. The U.S. is constantly threatening Iran. In the 1990s, the U.S. and NATO destroyed Yugoslavia. I mean, the list goes on. There are so many wars that the U.S. has been engaged in. So the idea that China is a threat to U.S. national security is preposterous. And yet, this report in the U.S. Naval Institute emphasizes that to achieve the capability required to deter the Chinese military, the PLA, the U.S. DOD must further develop SATCOM architecture, that is satellite communications architecture, in the first island chain and expand partners and allies' access to the COP, which is the command operational picture, to build a coalition kill chain that can mass fires. That is to say, to build what they call a coalition kill chain surrounding China for war on China. Now, this report in the U.S. Naval Institute pointed out that in the proxy war in Ukraine against Russia, the U.S. and Europe were able to revert to commercial off-the-shelf broadband services provided by SpaceX's Starlink to reestablish civilian and military SATCOM. This technology was provided by the billionaire oligarch Elon Musk, who has been supporting, materially supporting, the U.S. military in several different wars. And although Musk likes to use libertarian rhetoric, opposing government intervention in the economy, especially when it tries to tax billionaires, which it doesn't do very often, but in the rare instances in which the U.S. tries to actually tax oligarchs like him, he criticizes them. But in reality, Musk is the biggest welfare recipient alive. He has received billions and billions of dollars of subsidies for his companies from the U.S. government. Now, later on in the same report, the U.S. Naval Institute talks about the importance of the Link 16 technology that the U.S. is now selling to Taiwan, and talks about why the U.S. should integrate partners and allies into the tactical data link router used by the U.S. Joint Force. They say that integrating militaries like that of Taiwan into the Link 16 architecture would provide technical means for them to find and fix targets and cue assets to track them. Now, if we translate that into normal English, what does that mean? KJ No pointed out in his article that it would permit the Taiwanese military to coordinate with the U.S. military, including strategic nuclear and stealth bombers. It would be able to coordinate electronic warfare, surveillance, fighters, other bombers, and it would allow Taiwan to conduct joint arms warfare with the U.S., French, and British carrier battle groups, Japanese destroyers, and South Korean missile destroyers, as well as the THAAD and Patriot radars and missile batteries. So, in other words, Link 16, which the U.S. is selling to Taiwan, supplies a brain and nervous system to the various deadly limbs and arms that the Taiwan authorities have been acquiring and preparing on the prompting of the U.S. It effectively prepares Taiwan to be used as a spear tip and trigger of a multinational war offensive against China. And he says, to give an analogy, it would be like the U.S. giving separatists in a U.S. territory or state like Hawaii, Guam, Puerto Rico, or Texas, not just arms and training, but connecting insurgent militaries directly to the Chinese military surveillance, reconnaissance, and command and control systems. Now, this is an analogy that works. However, I would slightly disagree because the thing is that Puerto Rico is a U.S. colony. Hawaii was a sovereign, independent territory with an indigenous government that was colonized by the U.S., not in a way that Taiwan was. Taiwan has been an important part of China for many centuries, and it was actually colonized by European colonial powers, and Taiwan is an inextricable part of China. So Guam is also a U.S. colony. Texas, yes, you could say maybe Texas is something comparable, although Texas was actually taken from Mexico in a colonial U.S. war of aggression from 1846 to 1848, in which the U.S. invaded Mexico and stole the northern half of Mexican sovereign territory. So I think the best comparison is really comparing Taiwan to Florida. This is an inextricable part of Chinese territory. And the irony also is that Taiwan has been part of China for longer than the U.S. has existed as a country. Taiwan was part of China going back well into the Qing dynasty. This is before the United States was even founded as a country. And then the process of settler colonialism, the ethnic cleansing and genocide against the indigenous peoples of North America. So, I mean, there really is no comparison. The U.S. is engaged in extremely provocative acts against what it technically recognizes to be part of Chinese territory. This was spelled out very clearly in the diplomatic agreements that the United States signed with the People's Republic of China, the three communiques going back to 1972, in which U.S. President Richard Nixon visited China. And on the 27th of February, 1972, Nixon signed the first communique, which you can find at the State Department's Office of the Historian website. And this communique says very clearly that, quote, the Chinese side reaffirmed its position. The Taiwan question is the crucial question obstructing the normalization of relations between China and the United States. The government of the People's Republic of China is the sole legal government of China. Taiwan is a province of China, which has long been returned to the motherland. The liberation of Taiwan is China's internal affair in which no other country has the right to interfere, and all U.S. forces and military installations must be withdrawn from Taiwan. The U.S. signed this agreement, and then the U.S. side declared in this communique, quote, the United States acknowledges that all Chinese on either side of the Taiwan Strait maintain there is but one China and that Taiwan is part of China. The United States government does not challenge that position. The U.S. affirms the ultimate objective of the withdrawal of all U.S. forces and military installations from Taiwan. That is what the U.S. government signed in 1972, and the entire basis of U.S.-China relations are founded on this agreement. This is the first ever official formal agreement that Washington signed with the People's Republic of China. So if the U.S. violates this agreement by supporting separatists on Taiwan Island, the U.S. is violating the very fundamental foundation of U.S.-China relations. And the U.S. repeatedly reiterated its commitments in the two subsequent joint communiques. This is the second communique, which was from December 1978, which officially went into effect in January 1979. And in this agreement, it states, quote, "The government of the United States of America acknowledges the Chinese position that there is but one China and Taiwan is part of China." And here is the third joint communique. This is from August of 1982. And in this third communique, the United States government states that it does not seek to carry out a long-term policy of arms sales to Taiwan, that U.S. arms sales to Taiwan will not exceed, either in qualitative or in quantitative terms, the level of those supplied in recent years since the establishment of diplomatic relations between the United States and China, and that the U.S. intends gradually to reduce its sale of arms to Taiwan, leading over a period of time to a final resolution. That was in 1982, and here we are more than 40 years later, and the U.S. continues to sell weapons to Taiwan, and the U.S. arms sales are getting more provocative over time, not less provocative. The U.S. is blatantly violating the spirit of the three communiques, the three diplomatic agreements that the U.S. signed with China in the 1970s and 80s. Washington is violating the spirit of the agreements on which U.S.-China diplomatic relations are founded. Now, Washington refers to this policy as strategic ambiguity. The U.S. claims that it does not support separatism. The U.S. claims that it upholds the One China policy. And yet, constantly, Washington has been violating, in spirit and its actions, violating the One China policy and supporting separatists as they prepare for a war with China. And honestly, this is not necessarily even a new policy in Washington. Going back to 1979, when the U.S. formally opened its diplomatic relations with China and they opened their embassies that year, that same year, Congress also passed the so-called Taiwan Relations Act. And in this, the U.S. said we're going to keep arming Taiwan and supporting these forces on Taiwan Island, despite the fact that they formally recognized that Taiwan is part of China. So this policy of U.S. strategic ambiguity is a policy of hypocrisy. And we can see throughout history, as native peoples learned in the U.S., when you sign an agreement with the U.S. constantly violates that agreement. The U.S. violated dozens of agreements with native peoples, whom it ethnically cleansed and committed genocide against, in the Trail of Tears and in Manifest Destiny. And more recently, we have another blatant example, which is the Iran nuclear deal, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA. In 2015, it was not only the U.S., but also the United Nations Security Council that approved this agreement. And it was signed by the U.S. and the five permanent members of the Security Council, which is Russia, China, France, the U.K., in the U.S., plus one, Germany, backed by the European Union and solidified by a U.N. Security Council resolution that made this agreement part of international law. And what happened? Donald Trump came to power, and in 2018, he unilaterally withdrew from the agreement and illegally reimposed sanctions on Iran, violating international law, destroying this agreement. So no country can trust the United States. It is completely untrustworthy, and after years of an agreement, if it no longer likes an agreement, it will tear it up and prepare for war. This is exactly what the U.S. has been doing against China. And yet the Western media absurdly portrays China as aggressive, and yet Taiwan is part of China. It's the U.S. that is the aggressive one, not China. I have to admit, I am very concerned because it recalls the buildup to the proxy war against Russia in Ukraine. And the New York Times has disclosed that the U.S. and other Western governments sent special operations forces and CIA personnel to Ukraine, to the capital Kiev, to direct the war effort in this proxy war. ABC News pointed out that U.S. Special Operations Forces are working out of the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine, in Kiev, the capital. And Yahoo News reported that the CIA began a secret training program in Ukraine back in 2014. This was not an operation that began after the new phase of the war in 2022. The CIA began making secret trips to the front lines in 2014 to meet with Ukrainian counterparts. And according to Yahoo News, starting in 2015, the U.S. oversaw a secret intensive training program in the U.S. for elite Ukrainian special operations forces and other intelligence personnel. This was several years before the full-on war, the proxy war between Russia and NATO in Ukraine, which the new phase of which started in 2022. So if we learn from that recent history and we see what the U.S. is now doing in Taiwan, we should be concerned. The U.S. is engaged in extremely aggressive, provocative behavior. All of the sources that I looked at today are mainstream sources from mainstream media outlets, from U.S. government documents showing how Washington is potentially preparing for war, or at the very least threatening China in extremely provocative ways, which could set off a larger war. It is not China that is the aggressive one. If you have an unbiased perspective and you're detached and neutral, and you look at all of the evidence that I laid out, logically, the conclusion that you come to is that the United States is pushing for war on China. It's very concerning, and everyone needs to speak out against this disaster, especially given the possibility of nuclear conflict. But on that note, I'm going to conclude here. I'm Ben Norton. This is Geopolitical Economy Report. I want to thank everyone for joining me today. Please like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. All of our videos are also available as a podcast version if you look up the Geopolitical Economy Report podcast. Once again, thanks for joining me today. I will see you next time.